Hi everyone, we're the Sherpa sisters from Malaysia. Azimah, Amna, and me, Aisha, hosts of the My English Matters podcast. After spending 8 years in the UK as children, we know the importance of mastering a second language. So we created MyEnglishMatters.com as a platform to help second language learners learn to speak, write, and communicate in English with confidence through our online courses, classes, and workshops. To join our free course called Speaking with Confidence and get the latest updates about our programs, subscribe to our email list at MyEnglishMatters.com. And now, without further ado, let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of the My English Matters podcast, where we explore the nuances of the English language to help you improve your English communication skills. I'm Aisha, and today we're going to be talking about words that are often mispronounced and mixed up with other words that have completely different meanings. So let's dive right in. Our first pair of words is natural and neutral. Now, we often see people incorrectly use the word neutral in their reviews for beauty products. Take this sentence, for example. These eyelash extensions look very neutral. The correct word to use when describing something that appears to exist in nature or something that is not man-made looking is natural. Her makeup looks very natural, not neutral. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Neutral and natural sound so similar. Surely they mean the same thing? Well, I'm here to tell you that just because some words sound similar, it doesn't mean they have the same meaning. In fact, these two words couldn't be more different in meaning. Natural refers to something that occurs or comes from nature, like natural beauty, for example. On the other hand, neutral means unbiased or impartial, like in this sentence. I aim to stay neutral in this conflict. Moving on to our next set of words, crepe and creep. One is spelt C-R-E-P-E and the other is spelt C-R-E-E-P. The word crepe, spelt C-R-E-P-E, can either refer to a thin pancake, usually of French origin, or a light, thin fabric with a wrinkled surface. Listen to this sentence. I bought a box of delicious crepes for iftar and a blue crepe shawl for Eid. Now, people often mispronounce this word by saying creep. This can lead to terrible misunderstandings as the word creep, spelt C-R-E-E-P, can be used to refer to an unpleasant or suspicious person, like in this sentence. Stop being such a creep and keep your hands off my box of crepes. Moving on to our next pair of words people often get mixed up. Slip and sleep. These two words might sound alike, especially if you're pronouncing them quickly, but their meanings are quite different. Slip, S-L-I-P, often refers to a sudden loss of balance or losing one's footing and sliding unintentionally for a short distance, like when you slip on a banana peel, for example. On the other hand, sleep, S-L-E-E-P, is the state of rest that typically recurs for several hours every night. Listen to these two words, sleep and slip, used in a single sentence. Be careful not to slip while walking to your bed, or you might find it hard to sleep. Now, why do learners often mispronounce words like these? I'll tell you why. The differences in the pronunciation of long and short vowels between pairs of words like sleep and slip and eat and it may not be noticeable to learners, particularly if they come from a linguistic background where such contrasts are not as significant. Take the Malay language, for example. Now, the Malay language does not have vowel length contrast, and therefore, there are no phonemically long or short vowels in the Malay language unless the speakers shorten or lengthen them intentionally for specific purposes. That's why learners often mispronounce these words. So if you've ever confused someone by making them think that you said you're going to slip when you meant to say that you're going to sleep, try practicing with pairs of words that sound similar but have contrasting vowel lengths, like beat and bit, feet and fit, and peak and pick, for example. Right, so moving on to our next word, which is spelt P-R-E-S-S-U-R-E. This word can refer to the force exerted by one object on another. So how do we pronounce this word? The answer is pressure. Pressure. Not pressure. Pressure. Now, let's talk about this word. D-I-V-O-R-C-E. So how do you pronounce this word, which refers to legally ending a marriage? Now, as I grew up in the UK, I only heard this word pronounced differently when I came back to Malaysia, where I've come across people pronouncing it divorce, as in, the couple's divorce was finalised last week after a lengthy legal process. The correct way to pronounce this word is divorce. Divorce. The couple's divorce was finalised last month after a lengthy legal process. Next up, we have this word, C-O-L-L-E-A-G-U-E, which is what you call someone you work with. So how do you pronounce this word? I often hear learners say clique, which can sound quite odd for non-Malaysian English speakers. This is my clique, ama, for example. The correct pronunciation of the word has two syllables, not one, and the stress falls on the first syllable. Colleague. Colleague. This is my colleague, ama. Right, so moving on to our next word. Our next word is a word even native speakers often mispronounce. This word is spelt M-I-S-C-H-I-E-V-O-U-S. And this word is used to describe someone or something that likes to cause trouble or play pranks. So here's how I often hear the word pronounced. Mischievous, with four syllables. Mischievous. Gwen is a very mischievous cat. However, the word actually only has three syllables. Mischievous, with the stress on the first syllable. Mischievous. Mischievous. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, mischievous with an I was actually a fairly standard alternative spelling to the word. Today, however, both the four-syllable spelling and the four-syllable pronunciation mischievous are generally regarded as non-standard. So it's mischievous. Gwen is a very mischievous cat. Now here's another word often pronounced incorrectly all over the world. It's spelt W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R-S-H-I-R-E. This word is most often associated with a type of sauce that was invented in a county of the same name in England. So, how do you pronounce this word? Now, people often look at the spelling and try to pronounce it based on how it's spelt. So they often end up saying Worcestershire or Worcestershire. However, it's actually pronounced Worcestershire or Worcestershire, as in, can you pass me that bottle of Worcestershire sauce, please? Thanks. Worcestershire. Moving on to our next word, which is spelt E-P-I-T-O-M-E. Now, this word is often used to describe something or someone that represents the characteristics of a particular concept or idea. I've heard many English language learners pronounce this word as epitome, as in, he is the epitome of kindness. However, the correct way to pronounce this word is epitome, epitome, with the stress falling on the second syllable. So the pronunciation of this word can sometimes be confusing for non-native speakers due to its spelling. So repeat after me. It's epitome. He is the epitome of kindness. Moving on to our final word for the day, which is spelt S-A-L-M-O-N. And this is a type of pinkish-orange fish typically found in cold waters and served in dishes such as sushi. This word is often mispronounced by English language learners because the L in this word is actually silent, and this can be confusing for non-native speakers. However, the correct pronunciation does not include the L sound. So it's not salmon, it's salmon, as in, the salmon in the salad is so fresh. Saying salmon with the L pronounced like this can lead to confusion or misunderstanding, as it sounds similar to salmonella, which is a harmful bacteria commonly associated with foodborne illnesses. So make sure you pronounce salmon correctly, especially if you're actually handling the fish, as mispronouncing the word may cause concerns regarding food safety. So there you have it. 10 words that are often mispronounced or mixed up with other words. Remember to practice saying these words out loud until you get the sounds correct. I hope this episode has been helpful for you. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening to this episode of the My English Matters podcast. Please make sure to click the subscribe button if you haven't yet, and leave a review of this podcast if you like it. If you'd like to learn even more with us, we have a free training called Speaking with Confidence, where we send 7 tips to your email. You'll also get weekly emails with tips and lessons to help you improve your English. Join us at myenglishmatters.com.